This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday, 1 hour away from the State of the Union address. And hey, it's going to be a long one. All right. I'm a political nerd. I owe it to you to listen to it. So even though it's going to go way past my bedtime, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch it. All right. I'm expecting it to be a lot of pro-America stuff. I am grateful we no longer have to listen to this crap.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
At least with Donald Trump, you know it's going to be red, white, and blue, baby. It's going to be patriotic. I'm going to ask, Selena Zito is coming up about a half hour from now. I'm going to ask her, what are normies saying? What do they like? What do they dislike about Trump? And I'm going to float my theory out to her that I think Iran is going to be mentioned tonight. And I think it's going to be mentioned in a way that Donald Trump is going to subtly try to sell it to the American people, why it matters to them. Now, I don't think he's going to come out and say, we're getting ready to bomb him, because he doesn't do that. He stays real quiet about military matters. But I think it's going to be brought up, and not in a very complimentary way. But I think he does have to use this bully pulpit, not just to brag about the accomplishments, which he should do, and he, of course, will do. Not just to pump up the men's hockey team, which, of course, he should do and will do. That's going to be a great moment, of course. I think if his plan is to do something in Iran, and you just heard Brandon Weikert about all the hardware we have over there. If his plan is to do something to Iran, in Iran, the American people, they're going to have to be told why they should care about it. If we're going to take any kind of losses at all. Look, if it's going to be an overnight operation where we go drop a few bombs, kill a few mullahs, and move on, then you don't really have to sell anything. The American people, if they're not faced with any kind of a loss, they're not going to demand an explanation from Trump. They'll simply stand up and cheer, yay, yay, I'm so glad we did it, we're the best, Iran sucks, ha, 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 in your stupid face. That's how that's going to go. But you just heard Brandon Weikert. There are a lot of things Iran can do to potentially hurt us. I'm not going to say they're going to do it, because remember, our military minds, they're pretty capable. Remember in Venezuela, remember they had all these radar systems where we shouldn't have been able to fly helicopters in the middle of Caracas and steal their president. That's not a thing that should have been possible, but we simply mapped out all their radar systems and then shot down, essentially, defeated, I should say, their radar systems, and then flew big, slow helicopters right in the middle of the place and took their president. So we know what we're doing. I'm not saying Iran will hurt us, but as you just heard, they could. They're not nothing, especially because they've been working so closely with China and Russia. China and Russia have a vested interest in hurting us, and they have an extreme vested interest in hurting Donald Trump. When it comes to Russia, they've been a natural enemy of ours forever anyway, so there's always that. Then there's the fact that our stupid, suicidal American politicians have been bragging about how many arms we've sent to Ukraine, arms that have been killing Russian soldiers. We have been fighting a proxy war against Russia. Does Russia look at this as an opportunity to return the favor a little bit? Probably. China, they're even more open about the fact they don't like us. We don't like them. They don't like us. They want to hurt us. Donald Trump has been putting China up against the wall since he took over office his first time, because Donald Trump has always been hot on anti-China stuff. Now, juxtapose that with how Joe Biden handled things. There's a way of thinking, I am of this belief, that Joe Biden was flat-out compromised by China. I'll always believe that, and I really, really believe that, not just after the Hunter Biden laptop stuff, but we know that the Biden administration allowed a Chinese spy balloon to traverse the entire United States of America before they shot it down. There's no explanation for that. Even the explanation they tried to give, well, we didn't want to endanger anyone. Even that is bonkers. It would be nothing for us to take out a spy balloon and do so over a safe place where there's almost zero chance that any American would be hurt. That would be nothing for our military to do. And that was the only explanation they came up with. I believe Joe Biden is compromised by China. Hunter Biden obviously has some personal problems. Hunter Biden took business trips to China. China is famous for spying on every prominent person who crosses the border. What kind of video do you think they have of Hunter Biden? What kind of information about nefarious business dealings do you think they have of the Biden family? Anyway, I don't want to get too sidetracked. The Biden administration was unbelievably good for China. To have a guy like Trump in there is unbelievably bad for China. Does China slip the Iranians a couple things to make Trump look bad? To hurt Trump in the polls? 2028 is coming. China, they're going to look ahead. They're famous for that. They look ahead. Do you think China wants J.D. Vance as president or Gavin Newsom as president? Gavin Newsom, I mean, he's a 960 SAT guy.
I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just trying to impress upon you. I'm like you. I'm no better than you. You know, I'm a 960 SAT guy. But literally a 960 SAT guy. I cannot, you've never seen me read a speech because I cannot read a speech.
Which is interesting. He can't read a speech, but this old video of Gavin Newsom is popping up.
You've written a hell of a book, and I don't say that lightly. I went through it in a quick hour and a half, almost 2 hours. And trust me, I don't read very fast, but it reads at an unbelievable pace. It's so well written. And of course, it's so familiar because I felt a little bit adjacent to so much of the subject matter.
It's weird. He sat in front of some white people. And he read a book in an hour and a half. When he's down south pandering to the black vote, he's a 960 SAT guy.
I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just trying to impress upon you. I'm like you. I'm no better than you. You know, I'm a 960 SAT guy.
Jesse, first of all, I've always supported Trump despite various missteps and unforced errors along the way. But giving $10 billion in U.S. taxpayer funds to Gaza to help rebuild a terrorist haven still ruled by Hamas, which hasn't been disarmed, and that brought destruction on themselves and took hostages on October 7th, that's total insanity and inexcusable. Really disappointing. So, all right, I get what you're saying, but let's apply this not just to Gaza, to Iran and everything else and concerns you may have. Justifiable, understandable concerns. The Trump administration, Donald Trump himself, probably should get some leeway. At least he gets it from me on foreign policy matters. When I have a problem with Donald Trump or something he said or done, I tell you about it. Do I not? 5 years now as being president. Foreign policy's been real, real solid. Has not bogged us down in a war. Has gotten in, gotten out. Showing strength without being one of these people who has to intervene everywhere. He's not an idiot. I know that the communists love to paint him as some kind of moron, and you can hate his guts. That's totally fine. You don't owe him your loyalty. But don't ever think that he's a moron. Foreign policy-wise, he's pretty slick. $10 billion to Gaza, don't think that he's dropping it off in a suitcase and some Hamas terrorist guy is going to go buy rockets and chemical weapons with it right away. He's not a moron. He gets it. Now, what's going to come for Gaza? Who knows? Who knows? I don't think they can continue to run it. How that's going to be handled? I don't know. What I do know is Relief Factor works. That's what I know. I know that that chronic pain that holds you back from going for a walk, the chronic pain that keeps you from golfing, the chronic pain that makes your job worse, you can fix it. Relief Factor can help support your body's fight against that inflammation. And Relief Factor is drug-free, 100% drug-free. It was developed by doctors, but it is a supplement. Natural ingredients. Give your body the support it needs. The daily aches and pains. Well, I'm just getting old. Try to fix it. Don't accept that. Don't just accept that life has to be painful. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. All right? We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, Selena Zito is coming up about 10 minutes from now. I'm going to ask her. Remember what she does? She doesn't fly planes. Well, fly in planes. Whatever. She road trips. She doesn't even take major highways. She takes back roads. And her thing is she talks to normie voters. What makes people tick? What do they like? What do they dislike? Rust Belt normie voters, that's who she talks to. I'm going to ask her 10 minutes from now, not my preferences or yours, what do they like so far from Trump? What do they dislike? Do they care about Iran? Is that a thing for them? I'm going to ask Selena Zito. Also, you can email the show, and you should, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Your love, your hate, your death threats. I am sorry that every email you sent in yesterday, it was basically like you dropped it into an active volcano. You took the time to sit down and write an email, and there was some sort of gigantic computer glitch thing. It disappeared. It's gone. Sorry. Maybe somebody got it somewhere, but we certainly didn't. So if you sent one you really wanted me to read, I didn't read it. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So there's a story out. This is from Not the Bee. It's about some woke scholar who moved to Canada to escape Trump, complains about the cost of living. I just want to remind you of this really, really important fact. In America, we have a standard of living that greatly exceeds almost every other civilized part of the world. I'm not talking about it exceeding Zimbabwe. You get that. Other parts of the world you may think are civilized, and I guess relatively are, the UK or Britain or even Canada and things like that. Yes, they're not third world countries, but the average normal person in America lives a life with a standard of living that greatly exceeds those places. In Germany, you can't afford your power bill. Tonight, maybe it's hot where you live. I doubt that. I guess it's not hot in very many places, but maybe it's hot where you live. I bet you you're going to walk up to the thermostat when it's time to go to bed and crank that AC down, aren't you? Of course you are. Every American does. I bet if it's cold where you live, and I know the Northeast is socked in right now, I bet you have central heating. And if you're cold, you're going to simply turn that thermostat up to 74, 75 and get warmed up in the house, of course. You're probably even shrugging your shoulders, of course. Yeah, that's just for rich people in other parts of the civilized world. Normal people, poor, middle class, they can't afford to just make the house any temperature they want. these celebrities do this all the time, especially when Trump or a Republican's about to be elected. They'll come out. I know Ellen DeGeneres did this and Rosie O'Donnell and all these. I'm moving to Italy. Well, yeah, you're rich. You can duplicate your standard of living that you're used to here in America. You can duplicate that in Italy because you're a multi-millionaire who doesn't stress about a $2,000 a month power bill. Normal people, if you were to take your exact income and you go over to a modern country, you'd be shocked at how poor you actually are once you get there. I've explained this to my sons before. I told you this story when that time we got stuck in Paris. We were just flying through and the flight was late. We missed our flight and we had to stay there for 2 days. We went and got a nice hotel. And my sons expressed to me, I heard Paris is kind of dirty. This is pretty nice. I said, you think you've seen Paris? You saw where the nice hotel is in Paris. You're a couple blocks away from the Louvre and Napoleon's tomb. You don't know anything about Paris. Leave Napoleon's tomb, drive a few miles outside of town or to the other edge of town and see how those people live, stacked on each other like sardines, electricity almost unaffordable. What they eat, what they don't eat. I guess I just wanted to express again how blessed we are in this country to be Americans. Don't lose sight of that. And I know life is more expensive now that we've closed the gap, essentially, since we shut down our economy for a chest cold and printed $7 trillion. We've closed the gap on those other countries, but still, normal American. What's the average income? I think it's around $40,000 a year. Normal American who makes $40,000 a year doesn't think he's rich, and he's not. He's not. I'm not telling you you're rich, but do you adjust the thermostat? You do. You have unlimited supplies of clean drinking water out of that faucet that's 15 feet away from you. You do. Did you eat four meals today? You did? We have a lot more than other parts of the world. And people who come from other parts of the world, they'll marvel at how much we have. You have grocery stores where the shelves are all stocked. We don't even think about it. That's all we know. We really, really have a bunch of blessings. All right, Selena Zito, what's going on in the back roads of America? What do they want to hear from Trump tonight? What don't they want to hear? Hang on.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. I have been looking forward to this all day long. We are about to talk to one of my favorite people in the world and yours. I know you love it when she joins us. Joining me now, the wonderful writer Selena Zito, author of wonderful books, including Butler, What Happened on That Fateful Day. And she's the one who talks to the normies we talk about all the time, not political dorks like you and me, but just normal people, what they care about. Selena, Trump has a State of the Union tonight. It's coming up soon. What do you think the normies want to hear? What aren't they going to care about?
So I think what they expect to hear is first for the president to go over what he's done, right? I mean, that's sort of the marquee part of the speech, right? Look, this is what I did for you. And sometimes people miss everything that he did because of the way he operates. He goes at the speed of light, and things that might be important to them that they missed, he'll be able to explain. And then I think what the heavy focus will now be on, what am I going to do next, right? I did this for a year. I accomplished these things. These were goals that I met, but we still have more work to do. And this is also going to be as important to people tuning in. They want to know, what have you done for me, and what are you going to do for me next?
Okay, you travel these back roads, Selena. What are people happy with right now before we get to what they're unhappy with? What are people saying to you about, hey, I like that he's done this?
So they're really happy about the border. That was something that really, really upset people, to see this just blatant surge of people, almost on a, not a daily basis, but an hourly basis. And a very disregard for the law because it was allowed to happen. It is something that impacted their lives, their livelihoods, and sometimes it cost family members' lives. And so that is something they're very, very happy with. They're also very happy with how the United States is very respected on the world stage. You know, a lot of people on the left and journalists think that's the opposite. But after Davos and after several visits across the pond, as they say, America looks mightier. America looks more respected. And America has been able through him and the way his comportment is to project strength, something they did not see in the Biden and the Obama administration.
Speaking with our favorite Selena Zito here. Okay, Selena, for the uglier stuff, the reality of life, what are they displeased with? When you hear people upset with Donald Trump, what is it that bothers them?
So I wouldn't say displeased because it's very difficult for them to think he's not trying, right? But there's still a frustration with the cost of things. And the movement, while it has happened, it hasn't happened as swiftly as it happened when things became pricier, right? So when things got really out of control, in particular in the first two years of President Biden's administration, even the first 3 years, you know, that happened rapidly, right? It was like overnight gas went from $1.99 to upwards of $5, $6, $7 a gallon. And it seemed to happen overnight. And while gas is one of the things he can say, look, this went down, you know, there are other costs that are still nagging, still a little sort of moving, but not moving in the same way that it moves in an upward trajectory. So that is a frustration. And the housing costs are also a frustration. But that's something to a point that the president can do about, but not something that he can make wave a magic wand over. So I think that's what people are the most sort of unhappy with. And I'm going to go watch it in a bar in Western PA to really get a great measure of if they think he accomplished what he set out to do and telling his story. And I think it's also really important that the president acknowledges their pain. One of the things that Biden was so bad at was being so dismissive, right? He kept saying, oh, it's transitory. There's nothing to see here. I think the president really needs to embrace, you know, not to steal a line from Bill Clinton, but okay, I'll steal a line from Bill Clinton. I feel your pain. Like, I understand you're going through it. But people love to hear that. They would like an acknowledgement of the things that are dragging them down.
Yeah, I get that exact same sense from people. I have gotten the sense that his, you know, the economy's great. You should talk about that more. Didn't land well, so I expect to hear something a little different tonight. All right, Selena, I opened up the show, and actually I was doing a very brief little State of the Union thing. And I said that I anticipate Donald Trump probably early in his speech is going to try to sell Iran to the American people because we're very clearly heading that direction. And I just don't see that as an issue that the people, the normies I talk to, I don't see them caring about it. Am I wrong? Do you hear about Iran from people? Do you think he's going to try to sell it?
I don't even know if he talks about it. I think whatever happens with Iran it's going to happen in the same way that what happened with Iran when he took their nuclear capabilities out, or when you saw what happened with Venezuela. I think, and I could be wrong, I haven't had any advance. I've been on the road all day, so I haven't had any advance copies. But I suspect, I could be wrong, everybody knows that, I could be wrong. I suspect he might outline what the threat is, and I think he might even more importantly outline the capabilities of our military and how dramatically they have changed in the past 2.5 years, right? But in terms of, like, and I'll be real surprised if he does that, because I think when it comes to military operations, he is a proponent of not letting anybody know. He doesn't show it. As much as he's transparent about a lot of things, he really never showed his hand on any of in Venezuela or on the nuclear capabilities of Iran.
Selena, what should we be watching for? Give us one thing.
I think we are going to have a very, very patriotic evening. A lot of people benefited from some of the aspects of the Trump administration in the first year. So I think we're going to see, you know, regular people, much like we saw at the RNC convention, talk about how their lives have been changed. And of course, we're going to see the USA men's hockey. What we're going to see from the left, and what I'm really curious about, is do they walk into the trap, and I feel like they already have, of making being patriotic and being proud of your country, do they something that they're against? And if they do, I think... No, everyone says, well, midterms, you know, that's not good for the party in power. If you continue to do things that inspire young people, and nothing is more inspiring than seeing kids that grind it out in hockey. If you've ever played a sport, Jesse, or anybody in the audience played a sport, or their kids play a sport, you know they're grinding it out 3 days a week, after school, and all weekend. And to see them come up with that sort of Cinderella win, you know, that is the American exceptionalism. And if Democrats and journalists continue to make it bad, I think you are going to see such a contrast tonight about them embracing that kind of ethos.
Selena Zito, go read her stuff, selenazito.com. She even has a free newsletter on there. Selena, thank you so much, ma'am. I appreciate you very much. One more segment, and it's speech time. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. It's almost State of the Union time. Hope the rumors aren't true. The rumors are it's going to be over 2 hours, and I saw one person say they thought it might be 2.5 to 3 hours long, and I owe it to you to watch every minute of it. I'm 44. I am not Pablo Escobar. I don't want to stay up until midnight. And I can't wait to see the speech, right? I want to hear about the great things. I want to see the patriotism. But Mr. President, if you're listening, and I'm sure you're not because it's almost speech time in like 5 minutes, I'm begging you. This is me begging. Please don't make a 3-hour speech, because I have to stay up for the entire thing. And I'll be so tired. You know, when you're young, you don't really fully appreciate that you can go to bed and get like 3 hours of sleep and wake up the next day and you're fine. You're just totally fine. My sons have done it before when their friends have come over or something like that. They'll stay up screwing off all night if it's a weekend, and they'll get up on 4 hours of sleep and they're just peppy and great. I really need my 7 to 8 hours. I need that. Please, not 3 hours, Mr. President. I'm begging you, not 3 hours. I was happy to see that Bill Hemmer with Fox News, he interviewed the chair of the DNC, Ken Martin. I am happy to see they don't look like they're going to be able to change course.
Did the party lose itself in pronouns?
No, listen, at the end of the day, what I think Gavin is reflecting is that we have to get back to a message that brings everyone in the conversation. We have to focus on the economic anxiety that people are facing in this country right now. That's clearly was an issue in the 2024 election. People are feeling like they're falling behind.
They are going to try desperately to avoid the pronoun thing, but they can't walk away from it completely. And remember, one of the main reasons they can't walk away from the LGBTQ Air Force demon mob thing, even though it's unpopular with the public, is a huge, huge amount of Democrat money that comes in from Democrat millionaires and billionaires. They're gay. And they want that stuff promoted, and they demand Democrats promote that stuff. They're handcuffed by their donors, and that's what happens to political parties. It's why you see, for instance, so much of the GOP when it comes to defense stuff and military spending and Pentagon and things like that. Why can't the GOP ever rein it in? Why does it seem like sometimes Lindsey Graham, why is he running the United States foreign policy? Bomb everywhere all the time. Why? Well, defense contractors donate large quantities of money to Republican candidates, and they don't give that money to Republican candidates so Republican candidates can keep the troops at home. That's not the idea. The idea is the money will flow back to them. It's a wild system we have. Also, it's not just Americans who love this. American defense contractors, the elites in general. They make a fortune from foreign wars. Here's the president of the EU.
And today I'm also thinking of their comrades bravely holding the line in the trenches. They fight for peace. They fight for a better future for their children. They fight for a simple dream of a free and sovereign Ukraine at the heart of a free Europe. So let me conclude by saying to them, Europe will stand by you and stand with you until you have made that dream come true. Long live Europe and Slava Ukraini.
Europe hasn't done hardly anything for Ukraine because they don't have a military of their own. Europe, they just want this thing to continue because they don't have much skin in the game at all, and because America has been footing the bill for this whole thing. Trump continues to express frustration that this thing is going on, but the truth is this thing will continue to go on as long as we continue to fight for one side. I'm not rooting for Russia. I'm not highly invested in this thing at all. But you got to fight your own war at some point in time. You can't continue to ask the American taxpayer to fund this kind of thing. All right.
And now,
here's a headline.
By go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
State Department slammed with hundreds of calls from Americans trapped in Mexico. I want to go into Mexico and rescue people, Chris. Why are you doing this? Why do you push back on this kind of stuff? I want to be part of rescue efforts. Not because I want to help anybody. I want to put it on social media and get credit for looking like I'm helping people. That's why you do these things. Far-right ideology is Spain's biggest threat, Pope Leo tells the bishops. Can we get a pope who's not a dirty commie? I mean, I'm not even Catholic, but I'm a little bit sick of this garbage. Macron tells allies that he's skeptical about any short-term peace deal in Ukraine. Oh, you're skeptical? Why? I was sure this thing was going to end tomorrow. Minnesota Democrats' priorities. Owning an AR-15 gets you more jail time than attempted rape. Well, yes, the AR-15 owner is potentially going to oppose Democrats. The rapist knows exactly where his bread is buttered, and he knows who he's going to vote for as soon as they let him out of prison. I'll be back tomorrow. Yes, it's going to be State of the Union stuff. Get ready. 2, maybe 3 hours. But let's go hear what our president has to say. I will see you then. That's all.